Yesterday, the church kept the dedication of St. Michael, Archangel, which the prayer book calls the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. And I thought we might spend a few minutes this morning looking at this ethereal figure whose name, Micah, in Hebrew means who is like God. St. Michael makes only four appearances in the Bible. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 10 and at verse 13, we may read, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief priests, came to me, and I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia." The book of Daniel, written perhaps in the 2nd century BC, is in two parts. The former, occupying the first six chapters, is an historical account of the Babylonian exile, covering the years from 587 to 538, when King Cyrus allowed his Jewish captives to return to Jerusalem. In these chapters, we meet Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and are regaled with such stories as their ordeal in the fiery furnace. The latter six chapters recount Daniel's visions, some of which seem to parallel aspects of the apocalyptic writings of St. John the Divine. In the last of these, Daniel has an awesome vision of a glorious figure, analogous to St. John's vision of Christ in the opening chapter of his Revelation. He's given an insight into that continual battle that ranges in the spiritual realm between those protecting God's people and those bent on their destruction. In this scriptural context, St. Michael is seen as the guardian angel of the Jewish people. The second biblical reference is found in chapter 12 of Daniel. This book is the first in the Old Testament to speak explicitly of a personal resurrection. Verse 2 says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life." At this time of the delivery of the people, Michael, the great prince, the protector of the people, shall arise. There are similarly two references to Michael in the New Testament. The first of these is in the Epistle of Jude. This is the last of the epistles in the Bible, and it comes immediately before the revelation of St. John. It is a short letter of just 25 verses, and although ascribed to a person called Jude, its exact authorship is unknown. Its date is probably quite late, and it's written in excellent Greek. Its content is a strong castigation of heresy in the early church, but it's too brief and too general to allow scholars to reconstruct any particular heresy. It's not addressed to any particular church, but may seem to be alerting all the churches to a general problem. In the middle of the letter, there is a reference to a Jewish tradition about the death of Moses. Now, the book called Deuteronomy clearly narrates the death of Moses. We are told that he was 125 years old and was buried in a valley in the land of Moab. The text adds that no one knows his burial place to this day. However, it was popularly believed that Moses was bodily assumed into heaven rather as Elijah was. Jude alludes to this ancient belief in a dispute between the archangel Michael and Satan over the body of Moses. It was thought that Michael caused the concealment of the tomb of Moses, while the devil tried to disclose its location so as to seduce the Jewish people into hero worship, in strict contravention of God's commandment. It may have been some parallel misunderstanding in the Christian church that the author of this epistle had in mind when he wrote his invective letter. The final and perhaps most well-known reference to Michael is in the Apocalypse, the book of the revelation of St. John the Divine, the last book in the Bible as we just heard in our epistle. In chapter 12, we may read of a great battle in heaven when Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon, of course, alludes to the devil, to Satan. St. John tells us that the dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated. The defeated Satan was thrown out of heaven, and St. John clearly tells us he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. The fathers of the early church thought that Michael was to be found in other scriptural references, though his name was not mentioned. In the third chapter of the book called Genesis, after the man and the woman had been banished from the Garden of Eden for their sin, we read that God placed a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. It is thought that the cherubim and the sword may be a reference to St. Michael. He's also thought to have been the angel with a sword who met Balaam on the road on his donkey. You will remember in the book called Numbers how the angel caused much distress to Balaam, who was charged by Zippor, the king of the Moabites, to curse the people of Israel. First, the donkey, who could see the angel, even though Balaam could not, turned off into a field and then got stuck in a narrow lane where there was no room to turn. None was more surprised than Balaam when the donkey spoke to him after he had struck it with his stick. Then we read,